trenches and silos, bases and harbors. Said there was that, that fault you said. It triggered something way deep under the earth, and the whole mess just opened up.
There was an old woman in Harmony when I was still a suckler. Said her gran had survived. Bad rad burns, but she'd lived. Been born on the foothills of the Sierras, 150 miles from the sea. Came around after dark day. The Pacific was lapping at her feet. A lot of the state had gone, slipped into the water and off the edge. She said the waters were clogged with bloated corpses for many months. The smell drove folks away, those that lived. Not many.
Los Angeles gone? San Diego, San Francisco, all gone?
Ginsburg sat down in an ungainly heap, like a rag doll left to its own devices.
Then it's true, what you told me. Not something spawned in my brain. I'm alive and it's happened. And I'm going to die. I'd hoped it.
A man who starts thinking of hope has given up thinking how to live. Seems to me, Freezy, that you're too bitchin' sorry for yourself for a grown man.
You don't understand. This isn't my world.
It is now. And we're all wasting time.
Ryan had examined the massive sectors to the redoubt very carefully before the group started down the blacktop, checking that there hadn't been any serious effort to force them. Any signs of bad damage often meant a potential threat from local muties, but the doors were untouched, with just the usual evidence of weathering. They found one possible reason for this when they were a couple of miles down the track. There had been a huge earth slip, and the remainder of the road, clear into the forest, was gone. Now there was just a great expanse of scree, dotted with scrub and sparse thimbleberry bushes. A tiny stream meandered through it, opening up its own little valley between the loose stones. There was about a half mile of nothing before the first shadowed trees. The forest covered a sizable piece of land, eventually filtering down into a terrain of semi-desert, dotted with sagebrush and mesquite. Jack wiped his forehead with the sleeve of his camouflage canvas jacket.
Getting warmer.
Soon be evening, Ryan. We're making slow time with the Freezy. Best we can hope is to reach the wood and make a night camp there.
Sorry to slow you all down. It would be better if you just left me. Betty, you never revived me. Best would have been if you'd walked on by.
Rick?
And... yeah?
Shut up.
Sorry.
No fire.
It'll be coldest.
No fire.
I don't want cold.
Lori, the forest is exceedingly dry, my dearest little moonstone. And the brush beyond looked like positive tinder.
What do you know? You got thick old skin to keep you warmer, not like me.
Don't be a stoop, Lori. You know what a danger a fire could be out here. The wind would raise it in minutes. It's not worth it.
Bring muties.
You're all against me! Always fucking mob up on me! Not fair!
Doc took a hesitant half-step toward the soaking girl. He stopped abruptly when his eye caught Christy and saw her shake her head. Rick had taken no part in the conversation. As soon as they had stopped in a small clearing, he lay down on the soft, dry bed of dead leaves and fallen into a deep sleep. The six companions took turns keeping a sec watch. It would have been utterly absurd to think about the Freezy keeping guard. Ryan was already having serious reservations about Rick Ginsburg, a weak, enfeebled, and miserable depressive whose mind was probably very fragile. The only thing that was in his favor was the news that he had once worked in some capacity on the gateways. That alone justified the trouble of keeping him with them, but only for the time being. The night passed by peacefully. After a sparse breakfast from self-heats and ring poles of water, everyone sat around for a few minutes, resting, preparing to move on. Ryan was next to Rick, and he realized the Freezy was muttering to himself. Something about tomorrow. He listened more carefully.
All our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to a dusty death. Life's a tale told by an idiot, filled with sound and fury and signifying...
Signifying what, Rick?
Nothing, Ryan. Signifying absolutely nothing.
Lori's good nature had returned, and she led the group, dancing light-footed between the gnarled trunks of the mature live oaks,
Watch your step, precious Laurie.
But the girl ignored him, blonde hair flying behind her. Rick seemed in better health and spirits, walking without the aid of a walking staff that Ryan had cut for him with his panga.
I used to like hiking, until I got ill. It became harder going then.
How do you feel?
Better. A whole lot better. You know, the air tastes cleaner. Perhaps I'm imagining it, but it does, fresher. I suppose all the industry being blasted in the war helps that. No more sulfur, acid, rain, and holes in the ozone layer that used to worry everyone in the old days.
Your muscles feel stronger?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I can't remember. Funny, I think a century of freezing's addled my brain. There are things I can remember vividly, and some that have gone. I can't visualize my mother's face. It's silly, isn't it?
Nah, Doc has the same kind of trouble, Rick. Tell me something you remember well. Anything.
I can remember when I was about 14, in New York with my father. We'd gotten tickets to see the Giants play the 49ers. And we had a day in Manhattan. We went to an art gallery, which had lots of glass and open spaces. Wonderful paintings by Georgia O'Keeffe, Hopper, Wyeth, and so many. All nuked. What a... But it wasn't that. It was a warm October day, and we wanted something to eat. We were around 5th and 50th, by the old St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Reaching the edge of the tree part!
The others were entranced by Rick Ginsburg's story. He was like a living time machine, painting a picture of a long-ago scene that none of them except Doc could imagine with any kind of reality.
We decided to get some fast food. Oh, there were lots of burger stalls and fries. But there was an old Chinese guy who had a stall with pictures on the side. Whatever he was selling. I can still see it. And almost smell how good it was. Oh, fried shrimp, crab, and fish with some rice and a soda. We sat on the steps and watched New York flow by us. I felt real close to my dad at that moment. I don't think I'll ever forget it. Even if I live to be 100.
You're more than 100 now, Freezy. Lot more.
True enough. So don't be so rude to your elders.
The albino cheerfully threw him the finger and darted off to join Laurie at the fringe of the desert brush. Now they were at a lower level, and it was possible to look back up the mountain slope. They could see the scar of the scree fall, but no trace of the hidden redoubt tucked under the lip of the peak above. Christy pointed across the expanse of orange-gray sand.
I think there's a vill over there, and I can smell... not sure what.
Ryan stopped, still just within the shade of the forest, and took several deep breaths. There was something. Very faint, but...
gas. It's gasoline. Fire blast. If we can smell it such a long way off, then it must be a big field. Or a store so big that... if there's gas, then there's wags. Am I right, JB, or am I right?
Could be, Ryan. Sure is strong. This gas country, Doc? California?
It never used to be. But I suppose that the shifting of the great plates of the earth could push oil-bearing strata for hundreds of miles.
If you got Jack, you're fine. But if you got gas, then you're even better.
What's transport like, if gas is that rare and difficult?
There's some. Most vills have stocks. There was a huge store that the trader found, about 200 miles north of where Boston used to be.